Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us today. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family and associates. We're getting close to a million listeners, so we're really happy with that. This week, got a lot of inquiries about real estate. We've got Glenn Anderson here. He's a frequent visitor to the show to talk about what's happening here the remainder of 2024. We're in April. We're starting to move into spring. You got summer. A lot of real estate gets sold. People got questions about foreclosures, short sales. What's going on with the increased interest rates? What does that mean to the real estate market? So Glenn's going to be talking about that. I'm going to talk to you a little bit right now about what's going on in the markets. Right now, we're trying to figure out a caution notice issued by Morgan Stanley, their chief equity strategist, said, you know, the market is well overvalued. We don't know it could take down the market. It could be a flash crash. We've got Citibank indicating that there's 88% are long in the S&P 500, which means 88% of the investments in the S&P are long, but they're also in the red, which means they're losing. And you have very few stocks that are actually moving forward with the market. I mean, that Magnificent Seven, everybody keeps talking about it, but it's also the S&P 500. And we're in a situation where you have 2 to 4 stocks carrying the enormity of the whole marketplace at S&P 500. It went from 7 to 4. Pretty soon it'll be the final 2, just like the NCAA tournament. And then we have a downturn. But the question is, what is it going to take to burst this bubble? So let's think about it. Think geopolitical. Because if you go back to 2000, 2008, you've got the tech bubble, you've got the mortgage crisis, you got the pandemic of 2020. What event is it going to take? Is it going to be, you know, you think geopolitical, where you've got Iran, China, Gaza, Israel, you got Russia? Is it the fact that Fed doesn't lower interest rates? All the market's been talking about the headlines. They haven't. We're supposed to have, 5 or 6 of those this year. So far, they're not doing it because inflation is still pretty resilient. Is it going to be the issues with oil now that Iran is making threats and is bombing Israel? Is it the fact that the U.S. debt is so darn high? Is it, you know, gold? Whatever it is, we're in a situation, whether it be me, my charts, the experts, we're in a bubble. So it's so very, very important to look at creating and protecting your lifestyle. And the way you do that is you isolate and protect your purpose-driven money. That's the money that you use to support and maintain your lifestyle. It's the money that you use to cover your healthcare later in life. Time is not an ally of your purpose money. The reason being is if the market goes down, you still need your money now. So that's the reason why you have to isolate and protect it. On top of that, you have purpose-driven money. That purpose-driven money is that legacy money. If it goes up or down or goes away, it doesn't affect your lifestyle. It's the legacy money there. So it's important that you analyze and figure out what portion is your purpose money. And then you look at how do I isolate and protect that. So folks, I want to thank you for joining us there. Stick with us. We're going to be right back. I'm going to be introducing you right now, just in a few moments, to Glenn Henderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Today, this week, we're talking about real estate, the real estate market. We have Glenn Henderson. Glenn is an expert. He's well known. You've seen him in multiple publications, and he's just really been a wonderful voice to our listeners here. So Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here. People have a lot of questions, so I'm just kind of spit them out there real right up front, like I almost did there a few moments ago. There's a lot of people who are looking to see if it's the right time to invest in the real estate market. And they're saying, hey, what's going on with short sales, foreclosures, things like that? Also, what's going on with the market in general? Obviously, we still have high interest rates. How is that affecting the market? Is it positive? Is it negative? Are home prices going down or are they going up? Depends on certain parts of the United States, because I know some parts still have issues where they just don't have enough houses. So it doesn't matter. It's going to keep going up. With that, let's just start about what's going on in the general real estate market. How is it working out for you guys, so to speak?
So the market as a whole, what we're seeing is inventory has picked up. So the number of homes coming on the market has picked up significantly this year. In March, we saw almost a 21% increase nationally compared to what we had seen the previous year. The one thing that's been interesting, though, is the sales has not followed. So we just haven't had enough demand to meet. So the number of sales was down compared to March of last year, but we are seeing more inventory coming on the market. And it's really market specific. So there's some markets and neighborhoods where inventory is still lower than last year. Some metros, depending on where you are in the US, that you were seeing prices declining. And then we're seeing other markets and metros that prices are on the rise. So it's really neighborhood and community specific. Rates, beginning of this year, we'd seen get down into the low 6% range, which really helped bring a lot of buyers back into the market. But over the last month, weekly, we've been seeing rates slowly creeping back up just based on the inflation numbers that have been coming out and the reports on the economy. So as of yesterday, we were back into that 6.75, 6 7/8 range, which we haven't seen it, at least in the San Diego market. We haven't seen that over these last couple of weeks have a big impact on the market yet. But what concerns me is that if we follow this trend of these 0.25% increases every week, once we break into the 7% range again, that we're going to see put more pressure on the market. And I think just the psychological part of it, we're at least we're still in the 6% range now. But when people hear 7%, I think it's going to just cause some people to pull back again.
I see. Yeah. So what about all those houses that went into forbearance during the pandemic? The people are still having issues where they want to refinance, but they can't because the rates are so much higher. And are we seeing a larger number of foreclosures and short sales?
Part of the reason we've seen this big over 20% increase in inventory and homes coming on the market since last year, part of it is related to these homeowners that have those loans and they're in positions where they need to sell. But what we haven't seen is a big increase in short sales or foreclosures. We're seeing people going into default, but because we had such a big increase in appreciation since COVID, most people have enough equity in their home where they're able to sell traditionally still, but they're being forced into the sale because there's a foreclosure looming and they're in default. So defaults are still on the rise. We're going to continue to see more notice of defaults filed and the foreclosure process has started. But at this point, I don't think we're going to see a big increase in the short sales because of the equity people still have. But since last year, well, year and a half now, the appreciation that people are getting on their properties, you know, again, depending on the market, but for San Diego example, we're seeing 4 to 6% depending on the neighborhood. Across the nation, it's pretty similar to that. The people that had bought in the last year, 2 years, and now they're just seeing this gradual appreciation. If some of those people start ending up in financial trouble due to whatever reason with the economy or jobs, those are some of the ones that I think we could end up seeing as short sales in the upcoming year or 18 months. For example, we have one right now. They had to take a job transfer. They bought a year, year and a half ago, and they don't have the equity to sell. So they're a short sale because they were a more recent sale. But the people that had bought 2.5, 3 years ago, there's plenty of equity and they're able to sell and cash out.
So for example, we have many people that get into that little bubble of, oh my God, the bank's coming after me. I'm not able to make the payment because I was laid off, had health issues or whatever the case may be, or had too much debt.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, I'm in foreclosure. Okay. Or, you know, they won't allow me to short sale it or whatever the case may be. If somebody has some equity and bank's looking to foreclose on them, what would be the perfect step? Because a lot of people don't understand when they're in the deer in the headlights of what they should be doing if that's their situation.
Number one is not ignoring the lender. So if you're not sure if you have equity or don't have enough, either way, getting in touch with their loss mitigation department, starting the process for a loan modification or short sale, because that will stop the foreclosure process and at least give more time. And then getting in contact with a real estate agent to determine what the market value is of the property and what it would sell for in today's market. You know, then looking at, okay, how much do you owe? How much are you behind? The fees related to selling, and are you going to be able to sell? But the biggest thing is not waiting too long, because each month that you don't make a payment, that interest is accruing. The lenders add on all of their fees, late fees, attorney fees, and all kinds of junk fees that just continue to build and add to the balance. So not waiting too long, getting in touch with the lender to get yourself more time, and then getting in touch with an agent to determine the market value and how much equity you do have. Or if not, then you know that you need to go the short sale route.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I you know, our listeners, thank you for that advice.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna be right back with some more Glenn Henderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to thank you for joining us today, sharing us with your friends and family. You can get all the replays at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show by checking out a few of our affiliates as well at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City. All of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of personal financial freedom. Now, with that, I want to bring back Glenn Henderson. One of the things that everybody loves to hear, especially in this marketplace, is how do you sell your house for the most amount of money? The other thing that we were chatting a little bit offline about is what are the things that are affecting people or affecting the sales process right now? One of the things you did tell me was, hey, you know what? We might have to sell a house a couple of times because people are dropping out for the littlest things. So how do we make it hard for somebody to drop out because there's no issues or anything? Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, the steps that we're going to go through is to make sure we do everything right to have a successful sale, get your home sold for top dollar, but also make sure that you're getting it done the first time. We're trying to do as much as possible to make sure that it goes through the first time because of the uncertainty that there is in the market right now. Buyers are stretching themselves to get into homes. Their payments are very high because of the high interest rates. All of these different factors related to the economy, directly to the housing market. People are very cautious in as they're moving forward through the transaction. And we're seeing a significantly higher number of cancellations. So these steps are designed, and one of the purposes is to try and minimize the likelihood of a cancellation, which leads into the first one, which is the pre-inspection. So I always recommend, before putting the home on the market, having a pre-inspection or a home inspection done on the property. Basically, that's the same inspection that a buyer would have done once you go into escrow. And the purpose of doing that up front is that we're able to then identify any potential problems or concerns, and then identify which items we might want to address or take care of that could be a problem once we get into escrow. And we're just eliminating that likelihood or that chance, that then eliminating a surprise once we're in escrow. And then by having the report up front and providing that to buyers up front during the negotiations, they know exactly what they're getting in the home. And then it eliminates that likelihood of them canceling because the home's not in the condition that they expected.
No, and that also makes it a big deal, especially if it's not in the position, you can lose money on the back end as well.
Yeah, exactly. And where we're talking about some of these sellers that, you know, maybe that bought a year or two ago, that their margin's very tight and there's not a lot of extra money there. We need to know if we're going to be potentially facing some big repair or some big expense that we weren't expecting.
One of the other things I remember during COVID, how homes were selling so fast.
Yep.
And people are just, hey, I'm trying to get in, I'll take it as is. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that anymore.
No. So
that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's much different now. And the second part would be the staging. So once we've done all of our inspections, we've made any repairs or addressed any items that we need to, the staging, there's two parts to this. So if a home's vacant, then it's staging is bringing in the furniture, making it look like a model home. Or if you're living in the home, then it's going through the process of decluttering, depersonalizing the home. We work with our clients to potentially rearrange or restage a room. Sometimes we'll bring in furniture specific to an area or room to make sure it shows its intended use. So for example, a lot of people started working from home and dining rooms or living rooms, you know, became work areas. Well, for the sale, we may need to take that out and then stage it as a dining room or a living room again. That's, you know, one example of where somebody may be living in their home still, but we just do a partial staging. But it also applies to curb appeal. So it could be, you know, painting the front, planting some flowering plants in the front for color, making sure the lawn's being watered more often so it's nice and green. Those little touch-up items to just make sure that that first impression when somebody pulls up to the house, they say, wow, I'm excited to see the house. And then as they go through the home, that it's showing in its best light. Third is the pricing, especially now that rates have gone up so much. Pricing is so important. And, you know, a lot of times I get asked, you know, should we price it higher? That way we have room to negotiate down, which typically does not ever work out as well as if you price it accurately or even price a little bit below market to get a lot of interest in the property. And our goal is always to price it accurately or just below market so that it helps create a lot of interest in the property through all the marketing that we do. And then the goal is to create that situation where we have a bidding war, because when you have people competing against each other, that's when you're going to get the highest price for the property, because especially with residential real estate, because there's so much emotion involved in it. Mm-hmm. And people, one, when they know somebody else wants it, then there's that competitiveness, they want to win. But also the psychology of knowing that if somebody else is willing to pay that, or somebody else is willing to pay over the asking price, then the home must be worth it. So then it helps them to justify paying more for the home. So instead of chasing the market down by pricing too high and waiting to see what somebody offers, if we price it accurately, market it well, and get that bidding more, then we're in control and we're able to then negotiate the price up.
Yeah, it's always nice to have multiple offers.
Oh, absolutely.
It's tough when you only have one. And what's next?
The marketing. So I always say there's two types of agents, the passive agent and the active agent. The passive is the one that puts the sign in the front yard, puts it on the internet, and then waits for the phone to ring. And then there's the active agent. So like our us, for example, we're actively marketing the property. So we have a whole strategy of preparing the home for the market to the coming soon listing, the marketing to start to build exposure, interest in the property, and then the open house, starting the showings on the open house weekend. So the goal is to create a lot of interest and buzz around the property leading up to that first open house weekend. And then with the open house weekend, the goal is to try and condense as many of the showings as possible into those 2 days. Because if people are coming through the open house, they're seeing a lot of other people at the house, they're seeing that people are interested, then it goes back to that psychology of, well, there's a lot of people that want this, so it must be a good house. This must be a good opportunity. And it helps incentivize people to act quicker and then a lot of times offer more than what they may have initially.
That's wonderful. What's next?
And then the last is negotiating. And with the negotiations, and this will actually tie into something you mentioned earlier too. So with the negotiations, there's really 2 points of negotiations with the contract. So there's first, going into escrow, negotiating all the terms, the price, everything related to the sale of the property. Then the buyers have their opportunity to complete their inspections, do all of their due diligence, and then they have that second point of negotiation where they can ask for repairs or credits. And that's where you mentioned, Steve, you know, during COVID, that wasn't happening. People were just had to buy as is. They knew that if they asked for anything, the seller would just cancel, move on to the next buyer. But in the market we're in now, buyers are able to ask for items again, and they're actually really trying to leverage this point as a second point of negotiation to get credits. And that's mainly what we're seeing is these really big credits that people are trying to ask for. Fortunately, we haven't been dealing with it nearly as much as all of my counterparts because we do all of these steps up front. We get the inspections done. And we have everything disclosed ahead of time. So we basically eliminate that second point of negotiation. So all of these first 4 steps, and especially that first one, the pre-inspection, is where we can really have a direct impact on the negotiations and making sure that we are able to minimize any credits or repairs. And then that first point of negotiations, as far as the price and the terms, everything that we do with the pricing and the marketing then gets us in that position where we have, in most situations, more than one offer and we're negotiating, you know, the best terms and the best price for our sellers.
This is one of the reasons why if somebody's looking to hire a real estate agent, they don't want somebody with a small amount of experience. They want somebody who's been through it, understands these things, and, you know, can do the marketing to get your house to sell. Now, just out of curiosity, how long is a typical house on the market before it sells?
San Diego, our market right now, we're just under 3 weeks for average market time. A lot of markets and areas within San Diego were under a week, if everything's done correctly. But it's interesting, just one little thing can be off. They don't do a good job with photos and the presentation. If the home looks real cluttered or there's problems, just the smallest little items, and you'll see some homes that are the outliers that are sitting on the market for 2-3 months. And it's because buyers are so cautious right now to take any action. So if there's anything that just seems off or if the price is a little bit too high, that we're definitely, you know, there's homes that we're seeing that are on the market for substantially longer periods of time.
My last question is this. What is the typical impact on somebody who has a house that's priced too high? So, for example, in a neighborhood, the houses are selling for $1 million. Person's got it at $1.3 million. And you're way above the marketplace. I've seen these before, and I've listened to people. They say, yeah, I started up here. I had to come down, and it's been sitting on the market for a long time. In fact, they had to actually take it off the market and wait 6 or 7 months and then come back.
When somebody puts their home on the market too high, so your example, you know, market price should be around $1 million. You go on at $1.2 million, $1.3 million. That home is just, it's not going to receive any activity or showings. And especially nowadays, because buyers have all of the information, they can go on, you know, there's a multitude of websites they can go on and see what other sales have been, what the estimated value of a property is. So if that home stands out, or if it's significantly overpriced, it's just not going to get any interest or any showings. Or if it does, it's just the looky-loos that are coming through. And so that property will sit. It'll spend more time on the market. Eventually, the sellers will come around, do a price reduction. You know, it could be a full price reductions before you start to get close to where market value is. And then what happens, the market time goes up. So if you're in a market where homes in that neighborhood are selling in 2 or 3 weeks, and you've been on the market for 2 or 3 months, then of course the perception is, what's wrong with that home? In addition to being priced too high, there must be problems with it. And then by the time you get down to an accurate market price, so now you've got it reduced to $1 million, and along with the other homes that are priced at $1 million, but you've been on the market for 3-4 months, even though the price is accurate, buyers see how long it's been on the market. So there's that perception, there must be problems with this home. And then it's just getting skipped over. And then also, any type of data feed where buyers are looking at properties online, all of them sort by time on the market by default. So then yours is at the very bottom of the list. So here at the bottom of the list, you've got that perception of there must be something wrong. And then when people see that a home has spent more time on the market, there's always the perception that, well, there's a good chance that they might be more willing to negotiate. So then you get down to, you're at $1 million, you're in line with the other homes, but you've been on the market 3-4 months, you're going to start receiving those offers at 950, 960,000, because the perception that you need to sell and you're going to be willing to negotiate. One of your neighbor's homes could come on the market at 980. It's a fantastic deal. And then they end up selling for, you know, 1,020, 1,050. And it's just because of that perception and the wrong strategy with pricing up front.
So it doesn't make sense to try and pop up the highest price right at the beginning. So
no, definitely not. Yeah. The only time that this is all related to residential. If you're dealing with an investment property or that's, you know, multi-unit residential or commercial, just residential, that's different because investors, there's no emotion. It's all just by the numbers. So, you know, if they see a property they're interested in, they're just going to offer what they want to offer. But anything that's related to just residential and there's that emotion and everything else involved, it never works out pricing it high and chasing the market down.
I want to thank you for answering that question. We've actually had about 20 emails that came in from our listeners line or our viewers line. And they're just saying, hey, I've got a relative that's doing this. I think they're crazy, but why does it not make sense, or why does it make sense? Everybody's rationale is they think they're going to be able to negotiate if they start with a higher price. And the reality is, if they're negotiating, it's going to be down. That's basically what you're telling me.
The thing is, no matter what, you're going to be negotiating. So if you start low and you create the bidding war, you're negotiating, but you're in control of the negotiations and you're negotiating and countering at higher prices and pushing the price up. You price too high, then you're just chasing the market down. And then the buyer is the one that's in control. And they're the ones that are dictating more of the terms, and they're the ones that are dictating price. So either way, you're going to be negotiating, but with the right strategy and pricing it correctly, you can be the one that's in charge.
I think that's really important to say. When you take a look at the emotion of somebody who's buying and they've got it in their head, like, I can get this for less because of this, this, and this, or I'm going to have to pay more in order to get what I want. There's a different psychology and emotion that goes along with this, because you've seen those bidding wars go higher and higher just because people want it and that desire and the need for it is there. But on the lower side, there's less and less. So if there's less and less, I can get it for lower and lower. So it's important for people to realize that. So I want to thank you for sharing that with us today. I think that was wonderful. Glenn, you're a fountain of information when it comes to real estate, and we appreciate you being here today. How can people get a hold of you if they would like your help?
So number is 619-500-3222, 619-500-3222. Website is mypremierhomes.com.
Appreciate that, Glenn. Yeah. Hey, you have a wonderful day. Thanks for being with us. And you know what? We look forward to having you back again sometime.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Hey, thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.